Yeah, he was very grounded, very grounded. I think in Sligo in particular. Tom and Rick Epping would have come here Rick came about 69. I think Tom came about maybe 70 or 71 or thereabouts. Now I know Tom probably off and on. I can't remember not knowing him. Basically, you know, he would have been here around Sligo. He had a band called Pumpkinhead. Now I had met them through my father, who was a fiddle player as well, and so they came to Ireland, and Tom was just interested in Irish music, and there was just, you know, that's kind of how we got to know him really, and the kind of friends ever since really.
And it was obviously that music connection and Sligo's great history of music. It must have been a strong attraction for him.
Yeah, he was here. Well, he was here until maybe he moved to Dublin, I think, in the late 70s, I think. But he was coming and going to Sligo. Like he maintained a strong connection here until I think maybe 79 or 80. I think he went back to America, and he spent a little bit of time living in Russia, and his wife was from Russia, like, but he came back to kind of late 80s. He came back and he was based in Dublin, and he used to come down to Sligo a lot, like myself. I think you had Rick Epping was on the radio earlier talking about him, but Rick and myself and himself did a couple of gigs around that time as well, and he would have been playing with other people as well, people like Gavin Ralston and Garvin Gallagher, and Sandy Miller, who used to be with the original Pumpkinhead, she did some gigs with him. She lived in Dublin for a while, so she was there as well, so she would have done some things with him. So he was a busy man for a lot of the time, and he was writing songs as well, and a lot of people kind of had interest in the songs. Like his song, he actually used to make a joke about how well he reckoned the songs were better known than he was. He was doing a gig one night, and somebody said to him, he often told this story, how somebody came up to him and said that, Riz, I really, really enjoyed your gig. I said, I noticed that you do a lot of Mary Black songs. You must be a big fan of Mary Black. So they didn't realise that Tom had actually written the songs, you know. But Mary was, of course, a big kind of a champion of Tom's stuff as well. Like, and she did a lot to kind of get it known too.
So obviously songwriting was, you know, he was an inspirational songwriter in a way. And would he have influenced, like, your music, and I'm sure many other young
unquestionably,
musicians?
Unquestionably. Like Tom would have had a... I tend to cite Tom and Rick in particular, but Tom definitely, like, he had an influence around this region for sure, like, in terms of the kind of, there was, like Tom and Pumpkinhead, an eclecticism about them, where they kind of, like, they were playing Irish music, but they were playing American music, they were playing bits of everything, and I think they had a big influence on the way the Sligo scene evolved, because Sligo for a good number of years now is quite an eclectic kind of a scene, that you get people jamming in with each other on all kinds of all kinds of different musics, that you'll find traditional sessions, jazz sessions, and some of the same people involved in them as well, that people are, there's a kind of a musical openness here that I think Tom and Rick definitely made a big contribution to that. But at a national level, probably what you might call maybe the modern mainstream acoustic Irish thing of people like maybe Mary Black, Maura O'Connell, Charlie McGettigan, people like that, and they would tell you themselves it's probably directly traceable back to Tom Moore.
Yeah.
You know, so he was a huge influence. No question about that. We're lucky in Sligo really that there is a kind of a good old scene. It's a pretty friendly scene too. You know, like I think it's an easy enough scene for young people to kind of find their way into as well.
Yeah,
and I think that's part of the reason you've got lads like maybe Luke Devaney coming up, and, you know, like Anthony Mannion, Luke Mercer, they're pretty established at this point. Like, and, you know, but I think that we definitely owe some of that to Tom Moore. There's no question about that. Like, you know, that's kind of, that's something that I think it'll always stay with me, to be
kind
honest,
of opening,
you know,
up music to all interests.
I think Tom Moore was a crucial part of that here in Sligo, like that. He, like, you know, and he, I don't know, Tom had a deep, he had a deep love for the place. Like, we used to run a festival here a good few years ago, the Strandhill Guitar Festival, and we got Tom and a fellow called Jerry O'Byrne, who's a very fine guitar player, used to play a lot with Tom, and we kind of it was kind of a new festival at the time. There was a few ideas we were kind of, you know, we weren't sure how they'd be accepted at the time, or it was just a, you know, just to get whether people come to the gigs, and you know, just there was. But I remember some instinct in me. I said, you know, but we were wondering how Tom and Jerry is to go, because I think at the time he mightn't have played in a while, and we were thinking, would there be, you know, hopefully people would come, and he was saying, no, it's in it. Anytime you put Tom anywhere near Knocknarea, it's going to work. It's just like, and by Jesus, it did. Like, I remember, like, there's just some kind of a force that kick in whenever Tom Moore came to this neck of the woods. Like, you know, he was definitely connected. I wouldn't even say I fully understand it myself, but in some way, like, this was kind of home. But and people felt it. People, even from back, you'd hear people talking about the gigs in Killara House in the 70s, which I was a bit too young to remember, but you ask anybody around that, they're like, I mean, that's like 40, 50 years ago, and they're still talking about it. That's what you're dealing with Tom. Like, you know, he was an amazing guy.